Let's do the memory verse first, and then we can bless the children. It is my sincere prayer that every one of you, including me, we live out the disciples' value of Scripture. To know Jesus, I mean to know Jesus the way He would have us know Him. And that's why we memorize one verse a week. Doable, feasible. So I will do it first for the sake of our first-time guests. Let me do the memory verse with the blanks, and then we can all recite that together. It is from Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 and 30. The words of Jesus Christ. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am humble and gentle in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Matthew 11, verses 28-30. Are we ready? Let's do it together at a slower pace. Okay? Matthew 11, 28-30. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Learn from me. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. Matthew 11, verses 28-30. Very good. New memory verse for this week is from Luke. And I will explain this further in my message, and it will make more sense. It may not make sense now, but it will make sense later on. One voice, Luke chapter 10, verse 20. Do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Luke chapter 10, verse 20. Children, have a wonderful time. We have a soccer player on the floor. Right on. Love it. Yes, take the ball with you. Question. Why should God accept you? Why should the Lord of the heavens, if I may use the church lingo, bless you? Should He bless you? Should He accept you? Let me put it this way. Why should God, the Lord Almighty, love you? I've been a pastor for almost 30 years. Back in 2007, my wife and I, with two children, Johanna and Joshua, we moved to Edmonton to plant a church. Okay? When we came, we were all in. We sold our house back in Michigan, emptied out all the savings, not much there, broke Johanna's piggy bank. We told Joshua, who was seven, hey, no more candy for you. We need the money. We came here to obey God in planting a new church, hence Mosaic House Church. So you are the fruit of our dedication and our commitment and our sacrifice. Okay? Now, would you say Victor Koh then was obeying God? Was he obeying God? The answer is yes. Would you say Victor Koh back then, as far as you could tell, on the outside, externally, do you think he was giving it all to the Lord? Say yes. Would you think, having heard what I said, and it's all true, would you say he and his wife and the family sacrificed for the Lord? And the baby said yes. Okay? Yes, yes, yes. If I may say so, in all account, I was doing my best. May I make a confession? Having done all that, if you asked me, should God accept you? You know what I would have said? I don't know. If you asked me, having done all you've done, should God bless you?
I'm not sure. Having done all I've done, if you said, should God love you? I would have said, I pray that he would. In a word, I had no confidence. I was not confident that God accepted me. I was not confident God would bless me. And I sure was not confident at all, that God should love me. You know why? Because I knew I wasn't good enough. I knew I could have done more. And I knew that all my efforts fell short. So think about that. A professional Christian. And I was being paid to be a Christian. And I was working hard at it. Oh, I worked hard at it. And I still didn't have the confidence that God would accept me, that he would bless me, that he would love me, because I knew, what did I know? I could have done more, and I wasn't good enough. You got it? Okay? The Bible calls that works righteousness. I was working to gain God's acceptance. You follow? I was working to get God's blessing. I was working to be loved by God. That makes sense? That's called works righteousness. Some of you are like that. And that's why you work hard. You heard from Pastor Jeremiah last Sunday. He was working 3 jobs. He was working hard for his own righteousness. Meaning, if I worked hard, God would accept me, bless me, and love me. Okay? Some of you are like that. Others of you, you say, I'm sure God accepts me. I'm sure God blesses me. I'm sure God loves me because I have done well. I've done enough. I am obedient. Those of you, you are in the same category. You are also working for your salvation. It's the same works righteousness. I felt short by my own performance. You felt good enough by your own performance. At the end of the day, we are on the same boat. By our works, we were saying God accepts me, loves me, blesses me. Okay? Some of you who don't believe in Jesus, you say, I don't need a Savior. I don't need someone to die for me. I don't need the Lord. I don't even believe in God. You know what? You're on the same boat. By your own definition, you too are working for your own validation. You may not call it God, you may not call it Jesus, you may not even call it your faith, but you have the same worldview system. By your own effort, you are saying, well, you know what? As long as I'm a good person, as long as I make this world a better place than I first found it, then I am validating myself. Hey, friends. That sounds really intellectual and cool, but you're on the same boat as Victor Ho. We all are working to gain God's approval. Okay? Now, some of you, let me just say one more comment and move on quick. Some of you, you might say, I get grace. Grace means God's gift. I get grace. God loves me, not because of what I've done, but because of Jesus Christ. You preach that to yourself so eloquently, and you believe it. Oh, I love the sound of that. God's grace. Yes, yes, yes. But you don't exhibit gratitude. The whole Bible can be summed up in 2 words. 2 words. The Bible, the life, all of it can be summed up in 2 words. Grace, say grace. Say grace. And the second word is gratitude. Say gratitude. That's it. That's it. God's grace, God's gift, therefore, we respond in with gratitude. That's it. Some of us, we love grace, but we don't respond with gratitude. Well, I think I spoke, represented all of us. I pray. At the end of the sermon, by the grace of Christ and by the work of the Holy Spirit, every one of us
will say, yes, I need grace. And, oh, amen, I'm going to respond with gratitude in all that I do, in all that I say, whatever I eat, drink, work, play. It's an expression of gratitude to the grace of Christ. Come with me. Mark chapter 3. We are in the series called Jesus on the Move. We're going through the entire book of Mark, and the tagline is, Jesus is moving. He's moving with his grace, and he's calling people to respond with gratitude. So, will you follow? And today, the title is, Called by Name, Sent with Purpose. Say that with me. Called by name, sent with purpose. One more time. Called by name, sent with purpose. I'll be reading from verse 7 to 19, but verses 7 to 12, I will touch it, but I'm not going to expound on it. I'm going to use that as a setup, but I will expound verses 13 to 19. Hear the word of the Lord. Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the lake, and a large crowd from Galilee followed. Large crowd. When they heard about all Jesus he was doing, many people came to him from Judea, Jerusalem, Idumea, and the regions across the Jordan and around Tyre and Sidon. Big crowd. Thousands upon thousands. Thousands upon thousands. Some scholars estimate 15,000. Others, 20,000. Others, 30,000. Lots and lots of people. 2,000 years ago, at the Sea of Galilee, this was not just a crowd. It was a mob. Because Christ was healing people, casting out demons, setting people free from bondage, and he was teaching the kingdom of God. Verse 9, because of the crowd, he told his disciples to have a small boat ready for him. Why? To keep the people from crowding him. You see it? You picture it? So he's out on a boat and then facing the shore filled with a multitude upon multitude of people. Verse 10, for he had healed many, so that those with diseases were pushing forward to touch him. Heal me, heal me. Whenever the impure spirits saw Jesus, they fell down before him and cried out, you are the Son of God. And this is Mark's main point of the whole book. Who is this Jesus? And his answer is, Jesus is the Son of God. But he gave them strict orders not to tell others about him. So that's the backdrop, context. You got it? Okay. You are there. Thousands of other people are there. Christ healing, casting out demons, teaching amazing, amazing truth about the kingdom of God, and they're just eating it up. Okay? Now, there's a shift. Verse 13. Jesus went up on a mountainside. It's a clue. He went up on a mountainside. The Holy Spirit is letting you know, hey, remember that mountain, going up the mountain, and call to him those he wanted. And they came to him. He appointed 11. He appointed 13. 12. Thank you. Thank you, sir, very kindly. Again, the Holy Spirit giving you a clue. Why the 12? Why not 11? Why not 13? Huh? We'll come back to that. He appointed 12 that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. Here comes the main thought. These are the 12 he appointed: Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter; James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. To them he gave the name Boanerges, which means sons of thunder. I wish I had a nickname like that. I love the name Victor, but if not Victor, this would be my number two choice. Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. This is the reading of the word. Thanks be to God. What's in a name? The whole passage is about naming. What's in a name? When I was a seminarian student, I had to do an internship in Houston. And my wife, and Johanna was like 7 months at the time. We drove down to Houston, and I saw a dry cleaner store. Had one of the best names ever. $1.75 dry cleaner. Huh? It tells it all. Huh? I said, that's clever. I don't even have to ask. How much is it? It says right there on the name, in the name. 2 months later, that store went out of business. And I was thinking, well, that's strange. I would have gone to the store. You know why the store closed? Two blocks down, there was a new store. $1.50. That's the name of the store. $1.50 dry cleaner. What's in a name? Is it just advertisement? I'm from Michigan, near Detroit. Back in the 80s, there was a car that the GM, I think it was, GM, made and sold, named Nova. It was a hit. Millions of cars were sold. But do you know, in Mexico, it was a flop. It never sold. You know why? The name of the car was Nova. Does anyone speak Spanish? Nova in Spanish means no go. No go. What's in a name? What's in a name? One time I was playing golf. This is back in the day when I was at the university. You know, you go to the golf course and you join someone else. And on the second hole, you know, we said hello and shake hands. And on the third hole, you know, nice shot. On the fifth hole, I say, my name is Victor. What's yours? He said, my name is Shin. Okay? Oh, this guy is Korean. So he gave me, okay, his name, Shin. My name is Shin. Okay? Now, in Korean culture, which part of the name do you say first? The family name, right? That's it. Well, Shin, what's your family name? He said, Pyong. Someone got the joke. The Korean speakers got the joke. His name is, in the Korean mind, Pyong Shin. Moron! Ridiculous. What's in a name? What is so significant about naming? Not in our culture, in the biblical context. 2,000 years ago, when Jesus renamed these 12 men, what's the big deal? Here, Genesis chapter 11. Let's put it up. Here's the context. People came together. There was only one language on the face of the earth. They came together, and people said this, come, let us build ourselves a city like New York, Tokyo, Paris, the cities of all cities. Let us make a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a what? So that we may make a name for ourselves. So here's the doctrine of name in the Old Testament. And this is true of today. When we name ourselves, or when somebody names us, the thing about naming is it's more than a label. It's more than a designation. It is about identity and destiny. What they're saying is this: these people didn't believe in the Lord of the heavens. They were saying, we are going to be like God. We're going to build a city. We're going to build, raise a tower that's going to reach the heavens. So we're going to go up to the heavens where gods are, and we will be just like gods ourselves. It's about identity. We don't need God. We'll be our own God. And we're going to make a name for ourselves. And we are going to validate ourselves by what we do. Let me rephrase that. Okay? We are going to define our own identity. And we are going to articulate how we validate our very own worth. You got that? Yeah? As in, that's what I was doing as a pastor. I was building my own identity, and I was validating my self-worth by what I did. Do you follow what I'm saying? Okay. Some of you are like that. As a mother, if I say, who are you? What are you? Your first response might be, I'm a mother. You might say, without saying these words, I define my identity as a mother. And I validate my self-worth when I raise these children up. That's who you are. That's your identity, and that's your destiny. Someone else might be something different. But at the end, if God does not name you, something else names us. If God does not name you, we will find something else or someone else to name us, to give us our identity and our validation of worth. You follow? So that's why naming is so important. So let's go there. The theme and the goal of this sermon is this. Please write these words. I invite you to utilize the sermon outlines by using the QR code in front of you. It will help you. It will help you. If you listen to your pastor once in a while, it just might do you some good. The theme and the goal. Jesus gives you a new name. That's grace. Jesus Christ. God Himself renames you. The second part is to send you out with purpose. And that's gratitude. Grace, God, Jesus Christ renames you, and the gratitude is send you out with purpose and meaning. And we get to do it. Okay? Now, the 12 apostles. We know for sure four of them were fishermen. Like Simon and Andrew, the brothers, they're fishermen on the boat. We know this because Mark chapter 2, he names them fishermen. We also know that James, John, sons of Zebedee, they were fishermen too. They're on the boat, and Christ says, follow me. One of them was a tax collector. So fishermen, if you think about fishermen, uneducated, they haven't accomplished anything significant. It's an hourly job. You check in, you check out, you catch fish, you eat fish. That's about no one of importance. That's the point. Tax collector, Matthew, known as, yeah, Matthew. Traitor. Roman occupation. And the Romans put these tax laws upon the backs of the Israelites. And they were taking all their money. And Matthew was not only siding with the traitors, I mean the captors, he was making money out of it. Do you think he was hated? Absolutely. There is no worse thing to call somebody back then than a tax collector. Ooh, you tax collector. And there was Iscariot, Judas. The word Iscariot means two. Someone from Iscariot, it's a region. But it also meant a dagger. So people from this region carried an Iscariot, a dagger, hidden. So that when there is a Roman soldier, he would go and murder him. Murderer. A hitman. An assassin. Pause. These are the people that Jesus called. Bunch of nobodies, bunch of traitors, bunch of haters.
Do you think they deserve Christ's acceptance? Do you think they deserve Christ's blessing? Do you think they deserve Christ's love?
This was a very, very hard sermon for me to prepare, and here's the reason. The Greek in the original language, it just doesn't make sense. And that's why in English we read, verse 13 and 14, we read these words. Jesus went up on a mountainside and called to him those he wanted, and they came to him. He appointed 12, right? Okay? That's in the English vernacular. In Greek, it's entirely different. Okay? Literal translation is, Jesus, so here's a slide. Jesus made them 12. He didn't call the 12. He made them 12. Of the thousands of thousands, he made those 12 the 12. And then he named them. He didn't appoint. The word appoint is not in it. Anyhow, it's a good translation. But sometimes we need to go into the Greek language to get the different nuance, right? So the meaning is Jesus made them 12, not called them 12, and he named them apostles, not appointed. He named them. So here is, let me just come to this point, the concept of naming in Scripture. More than a label, naming in biblical thought conveys identity, assigns purpose, and acknowledges authority. Wherever the verb appears, which is naming, to name somebody, okay? Wherever the verb appears, it marks a decisive moment when reality is defined before God and people. Got it? And that's the big thing about naming in the biblical concept. Case in point, there was a man called Abram. A man without a child. God gives him a son, and he calls him what? Abraham, which means father of many. You see it? You see it? Okay. There was a man named, formerly known as Jacob. Jacob wrestles with God. I will not let you go until you bless me. He wrestled God to the morning. And then God gives him a new name. And his new name is Israel, which means the one who wrestles with God. Okay? You see how name is not just a label, it's your identity and it's your destiny. Okay? And Jesus is giving you and me a bunch of nobodies, a bunch of dropouts, bunch of Iscariots, haters, people who don't deserve, he gives us this naming gift. Friends, lest you miss the point, lest you miss the moment, this is grace. God should not accept me. I am unacceptable. God should not bless me. I don't deserve his blessing. God should not love me. I am not lovable. You get it? And yet, by the grace of Christ, by his gift, he does accept me. Not because I deserve it, but because of Christ. By Christ's grace, God does bless me. Not because I've earned it. No, I haven't. By Christ's grace, he loves me, the unlovable. That's grace. And when God, Christ calls me, he says, Victor, I'm going to rename you. That is the gift. That is, oh my Lord, who, me? Undeserving person. Number one point, therefore, quick. Jesus gives you a new name so that you may be with him. Write those words. You may be with him. Is verse 14, he appointed 12 that they might be with him. So this is the purpose. He names you to be what? To be with him. To be with Jesus. As you're like, talking to him? Yes. Is it like praying to him? Yes. Is it like acknowledging his presence wherever you go? Yes. Is it, yes. But more than that, think about grace, as in Christ, God himself, wants you to be with him, in that he wants you to receive his grace. Recognize that you are undeserving, but more importantly, receive, hold on to this gift, this grace. God is accepting me. God is blessing me. God is loving me. That's being with him, as opposed to doing. You're not doing first to receive God's acceptance. No, he accepts you already. So be with him. Receive the grace. Receive it. And all you have is to extend your empty hands. And make sure your hands are empty. Because if your hands aren't empty, you can't receive his grace. If you put your own works of righteousness in your hands, you cannot receive the grace. You cannot be with him the way he wants you. All God wants from me is to admit, recognize, confess, I don't deserve it, and I receive it. Would you be with Jesus? He's renaming you. Would you be in the place of grace and be satisfied with his works? Number two, Jesus gives you a new name, and the new name is it Victor? Is it Arnold? Is it Peter? No, the new name is Apostle, to send you out as his herald. Verse 4:14, he appointed 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. Okay? Gives your name by his grace, and now he says, respond with gratitude. I'm sending you out as my apostle, and your new name is an apostle. What's an apostle? Here's the definition. An apostle is one that is sent. A messenger, a delegate, an ambassador of the gospel, a commissioner of Christ. That's all an apostle is. It's a calling. Every one of you whom Christ renames, he gives you the name, what? Is it Victor? Is it Ko Young Kool? No, your new name is Apostle, apostle. That's your identity, and that's your destiny. To be sent out. Nothing more, nothing less. That's it. To be sent out. Here's what we say at Mosaic House Church. If you receive the grace of Christ, if Christ renames you, he calls you his disciple, and as a disciple, you live out six core values, and the values of discipleship is this. Say scripture. To know Jesus, say prayer. To meet Jesus, say generosity. To show Jesus, say community. To belong with Jesus, say sent out. To go with Jesus. And lastly, say movement. To multiply Jesus. So, everyone who follows Jesus, every Christian, if you are a true one, you will respond with the gratitude. How? I'm sent out. I'm an apostle sent out. To do what? To preach. And you go, nah, see, that's where I draw the line. I didn't go to no seminary. I did not go to any Bible college. And I'm not trained. I don't know Greek. Everything sounds Greek to me anyways. I don't know Hebrew. I don't know how to exegete. I don't know how to do any of these stuff. So I guess I may be sent, but not to preach. Well, friends, I love it when I correct you. You are so wrong. You know what it means to preach? Here's the meaning of preach. To preach, say keruso. Keruso means you are a herald. To announce the news or to proclaim a message or an event. You don't have to be trained
To preach, you don't have to be educated. To preach, you don't have to go to no seminary. To preach, all you have to do is regurgitate what you saw. Repeat what you heard. That's it. As in, could you, at the end of the day, when you're having dinner with your friends, when they ask you, hey, how was your Sunday morning? And you say, oh, I listened to this sermon. Well, what did you hear? I heard Jesus renames me. Guess what? You just preached. That's it. Announcing an event, declaring, reminding a news. That's to preach. And therefore, every one of you can preach because every one of you is a herald. Next slide, please. So when you herald, it may be open air, like in chapter 8 in Luke. It could be in a household base, like in a house context setting. You are just retelling the story. Hey, Jesus renames me. Hey, Jesus gives me a purpose. That's preaching. And you can do that by writing or reading. In chapter 12 of Luke, it shows even whispered truth destined for rooftops. Here's the point. The important thing is the mode adjusts, the authoritative summons remains. You are sent out as an apostle to preach. Let's land the plane. Number three. What did it cost Jesus to give us a new name? Did it cost him anything? Was it just, well, I'm going to give you a new name and it's not going to cost anything? What did it cost Jesus to give us this grace and gift? Let me take you to Exodus chapter 32. This is Moses. Moses went up on the, guess where? Mountain. Ah, the dime's dropping now. Jesus went up on a mountain. And he called 11 tribes. He called 13 tribes. No. How many tribes? He called 12 tribes. Okay? And that's because they have sinned against God by making this golden calf. And they said, we don't need this God who led us out of slavery in Egypt, but we are going to make our own God, just like the Tower of Babel. We're going to make this little golden calf, and we're going to worship it. It's going to give us our identity and our destiny. And God was so upset. And he was going to wipe out the Israelites. He said, Moses, step aside. I'm going to bring down thunders. And here's what we read. So Moses went back to the Lord and said, oh, what a great sin these people have committed. They have made themselves gods of gold, but now please forgive their sin. But if not, blot me, Moses, blot me, my name, out of the book you have written. You see that? Moses acting as the mediator, acting as the one who says, take my name out of the book, but save these people. Jesus Christ. He is the ultimate Moses. He is the final Moses. He is the one who is greater than Moses himself, and he is doing the same thing. And we read it in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to a thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose what? Whose names, your names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. Did you hear that? It's Jesus Christ saying, take my name out of the book in heaven. Because he went all the way down to hell to save me, to give you the new name. And it cost Jesus everything. And that's why his grace is so precious.
Let's end with a couple of applications. Number one, first application, Jesus is calling you to give you a new name. Will you follow him? He's giving you a new name, which you don't deserve. Will you follow him? Will you say, thank you, Lord? Is that you? Application two. Jesus gave you a new name to be with him. Will you follow him? I pray every one of you be what I have become. Being content, just being with him. I don't have to do anything to please him. He already accepts me. Is that you? Last, Jesus is sending you as his apostle. Will you follow him? I serve the Lord. I am an apostle. I am sent out and I receive it and I respond in gratitude to the grace. Will you follow him? Pray with me. Lord Jesus, you choose the humble and you raise them high. You choose the weak and you make them strong. You heal our brokenness inside and you give us life. Oh Lord Jesus, the same love that set the captives free, the same love that opened the eyes to see, is calling us all by name. You are calling us all by name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You are calling us. Now you are sending us as your apostle. Give us the strength and the courage by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said,